seated. Good morning to you this morning. It's nice and cool compared to the last few days. Thank you for joining us for worship, and those who are here regularly and any of you who are visiting this morning, please be very welcome. I am Adele Miles. I am the priest in charge until the 15th of August, when our new rector, Michael Bruce, comes to be our pastoral leader, our priest in this place. So there are some new sheets up this morning, really, really. He and Heather would like some recommendations on our favorite things in London. So favorite pizza place, I bet you everybody has one of those, and you know, you get the idea. Anyway, they're at both entrances, so on your way out, please make sure you have a look at that and add your recommendations to the list. Lemonade on the lawn this morning, no impediments, so we'll see you there. And thanks to all of you who help with the leadership in this worship this morning, to our musicians who share their gifts of music, to our readers, our wardens, and to John Gardney, who makes sure that those who are listening at home can hear us. Thank you for helping us to worship together. Our service continues. Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. O God, the protector of all who trust in you, without whom nothing is strong, nothing is holy, increase and multiply upon us your mercy, that with you as our ruler and guide, we may so pass through things temporal that we lose not the things eternal. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated.
A reading from Paul's letter to the Romans. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to conform to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is condemned? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Give thanks to the Lord and call upon the divine name. Make known the deeds of the Lord among the peoples. Sing to the Lord, sing praises, and speak of all the marvelous works of the Lord. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Search for the strength of the Lord. Continually seek the face of God. Remember the marvels the Lord has done, the wonders and the judgments of the mouth of the Lord. Remembered your holy word, and Abraham your servant. So you led forth your people with gladness, your chosen with shouts of joy.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to one known to us as Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus put before the crowds another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all of this? They answered, yes. And Jesus said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. This is the gospel of Christ. Please be seated. When you think of the kingdom of heaven, what pops into your head? Do you think of angels? Life after death experiences, maybe. Pearly gates and St. Peter? Fluffy white clouds and harp music? These popular images pretty much all have one thing in common. They are all future-oriented. They all speak of what happens after we die. And of course, since we won't know till we get there, well, they're the best we can do, right? What's interesting to me is that when Jesus spoke about the kingdom of heaven, there were no angels in sight. He never once mentioned pearly gates, though the book of Revelation does speak of streets paved with gold. In fact, Jesus was never very explicit about the furnishings of the kingdom of heaven. Instead of specifics, Jesus spoke in parables, jarring stories that made his listeners sit up and take notice. Jesus cast about for things to compare the kingdom with. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. Like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of flour. Like treasure hidden in a field which someone found. Like a merchant in search of fine pearls. Like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. Seeds and yeast, treasure and pearls, nets and fish, and people. A sower, a baker, a farmer, a merchant, a fisher. Jesus uses all of these ordinary words and ordinary people to help us glimpse the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. So exactly what does all this tell us? First, there's a hiddenness to the kingdom of God. The seed is hidden in the earth, the yeast is hidden in the flour, the treasure is hidden in the field, the pearl is hidden amongst other pearls, and the net is submerged in the sea. It's like you just might miss the kingdom of God if you're not looking for it. The kingdom of God lies just below the surface of life, waiting for us to find it. The kingdom of God is transformative. The seed becomes a great plant, drawing birds from all parts to shelter in its branches. The yeast transforms the flour, a whole mountain of flour, somewhere between 40 and 60 pounds of flour, Jesus tells us, more flour than one person can possibly knead into bread by themselves. The yeast, more like sourdough starter in those days, when worked into all of that flour, makes enough bread to feed a whole village. So the kingdom of God is extravagance, abundance, more than we can ask or imagine, and it doesn't take a lot to get it going either. Just a seed, perhaps a little yeast, a sower, a baker, ordinary people doing ordinary everyday things, touching the lives of others, touching God. I'm thinking all of us can identify with the lucky farmer. We all want to be him, right? There he is, minding his own business, tending his field, when he stubs his toe on something hard. After hopping around, nursing his toe for a while, he returns to find, half buried, a treasure of such value he can hardly believe his luck. Quickly, he buries the treasure a little deeper so no one else will find it, while he hurries off to sell everything he has in order to purchase the field and make the treasure his own. Then there's a merchant who is seeking fine pearls and comes upon a pearl of great price. Not what he was expecting, but there it was, just lying there with all the other pearls. Somehow, no one else had spotted it. So he abandons his original quest, giving up his merchant career and selling all he has to acquire the object of his desire. Not exactly what we would do, maybe. Seems pretty risky to sell all that we have for a pearl of any price, or even hidden treasure. Yet each man finds something that makes everything else he owns trivial by comparison, and he does not think twice about trading it all in. If the kingdom is like that, then it is rare but attainable for those who are not only willing but eager to pay the price. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus seems to be saying, is about getting our priorities straight. Some of Jesus' disciples did give up everything to follow him. Peter, James, John, and the other 12, for instance, left family, fishing nets, and businesses, everything they had, to follow Jesus. Other disciples, like Mary and Martha and Lazarus, put everything they had at the service of the mission, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, offering the gift of hospitality. Then there's the fisher, casting a net into the sea. When it is dragged ashore, the net is filled to overflowing with every kind of fish. If the kingdom of God is like this, then maybe it's not only something that we seek, but something that catches hold of us, claims us, draws us closer to God. Jesus speaks of the kingdom of God as breaking in upon us. The kingdom is right here, hiding in plain sight for us to trip over. The kingdom is within each of those who seek it. Best of all, God is always seeking us, to draw us into the kingdom, a place where heaven and earth meet, not just in some distant future, but in the ordinariness of everyday life, in the here and the now. At the end of the day, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, is the place where God lives at the center, the realm where God's love and mercy, peace and justice frame all we do and say. Every time we catch a glimpse of God at work in our midst, touching the lives of ordinary people, in the ordinariness of everyday life, we catch a glimpse of the kingdom of God come near. I'm thinking in the end, the kingdom may well have angels in it. Those angels are us, messengers of God's good news and heralds of God's love and mercy, in the way we live our everyday lives, with God at the center. Amen. Let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
May the Spirit pray through us as we try to put into words the longings of our hearts for the Church and for the world. Creator God, we thank you for all who have helped us to pray and to grasp something of your great love and power. We ask your blessing and empowering for all who teach and minister in your name. We ask for our Sunday worship to be overflowing of our daily walk with you, an expression of deepening love. Lord of all creation, teach us your ways. Creator God, we thank you for the beauty and diversity of the created world we inhabit. We ask for the wisdom to tend it carefully, respect the natural laws and sharing the resources, listening to the weak as well as the strident, to the poor as well as the affluent and powerful. Lord of all creation, teach us your ways. Creator God, we thank you for the candor and innocence of the very young, and for the joy of friendship, for all with whom we share our daily life, and for those we love but seldom meet. We ask for hearts that are skilled in listening, so that we discern and respond to the real agendas and remember that a conversation is a two-way event. Lord of all creation, teach us your ways. Creator God, we thank you for the advances in medical knowledge. We pray for all in medical research and all whose lives are crippled or disadvantaged by illness, frailty, or damage. Give comfort, reassurance, healing, wholeness, and peace. We think especially today of Sylvia Brightwell, Liz Bailey, and Eunice Smith. Lord of all creation, teach us your ways. Creator God, we call to mind all those we have known and loved and who lived among us and had now died. We pray for all those who made that journey unnoticed and alone. We ask that they may all know your mercy and the everlasting peace and joy of heaven. Lord of all creation, teach us your ways. Creator God, we thank you for your wisdom and truth, your understanding and generosity. We acknowledge our total dependence on you and praise you for providing us all that we need. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites them to this table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By what we have done and by what we have left undone, we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
grace, accept all we offer you this day as we look forward to the glory you have promised. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
We give you thanks and praise, Almighty God. Through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer, He is your living Word, through whom you have created all things. By the power of the Holy Spirit, He took flesh of the Virgin Mary, and shared our human nature. He lived and died as one of us to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. In fulfillment of your will, He stretched out His hands in suffering to bring release to those who place their hope in you. And so He won for you a holy people. He chose to bear our griefs and sorrows and to give up His life on the cross, that He might shatter the chains of evil and death and banish the darkness of sin and despair. By His resurrection, He brings us into the light of your presence. Now with all creation, we raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. Gracious God, accept our praise through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who on the night he was handed over to suffering and death, took bread and gave you thanks, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is broken for you." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This is my blood, which is shed for you. When you do this, you do it in memory of me." Remembering, therefore, his death and resurrection, we offer you this bread and this cup, giving thanks that you have made us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. We ask you to send your Holy Spirit upon the offering of your holy church. Gather into one all who share in these sacred mysteries, filling them with the Holy Spirit and confirming their faith in the truth, that together we may praise you and give you glory through your servant Jesus Christ. All glory and honor are yours, Father and Son, with the Holy Spirit in the Holy Church, now and forever. Amen. As our Father taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I am the bread of life, says the Lord. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never thirst. These are the gifts of God for the people of God.
Soar to uncreated light.
Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the Church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. And now may God the Creator grant you the grace to see yourselves as God made you. God of love, grant you the grace to value yourselves as God values you. God of life, grant you the grace to dream God's purpose for you and the courage to live that purpose from the depths of your being. And the blessing of God, Creator, lover, and giver of life, be with you and those whom you love and care for this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Rejoicing in the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit to love and serve your God.
Thanks.